Praise God. Well, we've been talking about seven steps to the highest kind of faith. And the one we're on is know the authority in the name of Jesus. Know the authority in the name of Jesus. So we've read several scriptures along this line. We got into some things last week. Let's start real quick and review a little bit. Let's go to Mark 16, verse 14. We'll go over a few of the scriptures that we went over last week, and then we'll go forward. Mark 16, verse 15. 16, verse 15. Praise God. All right, Mark 16, verse 15, it says, go into all the world. Everybody there? Yeah. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will drink, or they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So we read that last week. You see in verse 17 it says, in my name they will cast out demons. And then in my name, you could put that before all these other parts. In my name they will speak with new tongues. In my name they will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. But notice that verse 17, in my name they will cast out demons. Go ahead and go over to Luke 10:17. We went there last week. Luke 10:17. Everybody there? It says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, but that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. But notice that, verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. See, it says in verse 19, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That's not talking about literal serpents and scorpions. That's talking about the enemy. And you can see that clearly from the context, because he says, and over all the power of the enemy. He didn't say trample on serpents and scorpions, just. He said, and over all the power of the enemy. And then in verse 20, he says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. So you can see that clearly. What's he talking about? He's talking about demons, evil spirits. He's talking about the devil. And so we have authority in the name of Jesus. So we got into some things last week regarding, how many of you were here last week? Were all of you here? Were you here last week? So everybody was here. So you guys are on the same page. So we talked about, and we gave an illustration of Brother Hagin, how when he was, he had a vision of the Lord Jesus, and he was talking to Jesus, and Jesus was, you know, like he said, it was like almost like he was where the ceiling should be, and he was talking to him, and he'd been talking to him for a long time, and he was given instruction to him and given about certain things, and at this one point, Jesus was starting to talk about something. And he said this demon came out, and he said it looked like a little monkey, came up and started jumping up in front of him in between Brother Hagin and himself, and was just, you know, going like this, waving his hands and jumping up and down and yelling. Just, he said it was just a very shrill voice. He was like, yakety, 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 just making noise. And Brother Hagin couldn't understand what Jesus was saying. And Brother Hagin sitting there, or standing there thinking to himself, doesn't Jesus know I can't hear him? Doesn't Jesus know that I'm... Because he said he could see his mouth moving, and he could tell he was saying something, but he couldn't hear him. And he said, the other thing is, when there was like a mist that came out of the demon, so you couldn't see very well. He couldn't hear. And he's sitting there going, this is Jesus. Why isn't he doing anything? Why doesn't he stop it? And he said, then out of frustration, he just said, in the name of Jesus, stop. And he said he dropped to the floor. And then he said, not only that, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And when he dropped to the floor, he started whimpering. And then he said, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And he left. And then Jesus talked to him and said, if you hadn't done anything about that, I couldn't have. And Brother Hagin just kind of looked at him and said, Lord, I must have heard you wrong. You said, you didn't mean to say that if I hadn't done anything about it that you couldn't have. You meant to say you didn't mean to say that I couldn't. You meant to say I wouldn't. And he said, no, I said couldn't. And he went through it several times, and Brother Hagin just got to the point, he was just like shaking his head going, I know I've heard you wrong because you did not say couldn't. You said wouldn't. And he went through that like four times, and Jesus said, no, I said couldn't. Because in Brother Hagin's mind, that just went against his theology. How could Jesus say he could not have stopped that little demon? And that way, and he said, well, that just upends my theology. He goes, that's different than anything I've ever heard. He said, if I'm going to believe this, I goes, I don't care that you're standing in front of me. I don't care that I can hear you speaking and that I can see you. He said, you're going to have to, Brother Hagin said this, he said, you're going to have to give me at least three scriptures, three references, three witnesses in the New Testament before I'm going to take that. And Brother Hagin says, do you think he was mad? He said, he wasn't mad. He just smiled sweetly. And he said, well, he said, I'll go you one better. I'll give you four. And so he did. And we went over some of those scriptures. And let's go over them again. And then we didn't get to the last one. I gave it to you right at the end. But let's go over to Matthew 28, 18. Definitely write these down. And just, you know, get them in your heart and just get it settled that the devil can't have place in your life unless you give it to him. Now notice these scriptures, they're not just in four places in the New Testament, they're from four different writers. They're actually from four different witnesses. So in other words, they're not four scriptures in the Pauline epistles. They're actually four different people. So the first one is Matthew 28:18. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The verse 18 says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And he says, go therefore and make disciples. So he says, all authority has been given to me, but you're going to go. And he delegates his authority to the church. Now you'll see this in other places because we stand in the place of authority here. Jesus is the head, but we're the body. Did your body ever go anyplace without your head? If it does, you're in trouble. No, things get done. See, what if your head has a thought? You really like to go over and get that bottle of water or something. Nothing gets done until your body does something about it. And the Bible talks about this, us being the body of Christ, that the Lord is the head over all things, and we have been given the ability to do what the Lord's will is on this earth, but he's not going to do it. And see, that does blow people's theology. Because there are whole segments of Christianity that think everything's up to God. That if God wants, and think about it, I mean, we all probably at different points have gotten that into our thinking, because people will say, well, God, why don't you just do something about this? But if you stop and think about it, in our situation, we'll think, well, God, you just, I know I've done this and this, but you step in and just do something. Have mercy, just do something. God's not going to do anything on the earth unless he has legal right to, unless people give it to him. And did you know it's the same thing with the devil? The devil has power because people yield it to him. It's not because he's so big and bad. He is the God of this world, but what does he do? He controls men. That's how he got authority in the first place in the earth. He got Adam to submit to him. See, he didn't just come in and run over. God gave dominion to Adam. You guys know that?
Yes.
In Genesis?
Yes.
He said, you have dominion over basically the whole world. The fishes of the sea and the birds of the air and the things on the earth. You have authority. And Satan didn't just come in and run him over. He got him to obey him. He didn't do what God told him to do. He didn't obey the commandment. He came in and Satan deceived him. Satan deceived Eve. Adam doesn't say he was necessarily deceived, but he listened to Eve and he obeyed Satan. And so Satan gained access into his life. And because he was the God, if you want to say it, of this world, he wasn't God, but he was the God of this world. I mean, Adam ruled the world. He bowed his knee to Satan. And because of that, Satan had access in his life. And that's what the enemy's been doing all along. If he can get us to yield to him, then he can do what he wants to do in our life. Well, God's the same way. God's got to get men to yield to him. He can't just come in. Now, think about this. God's a good God, right?
Yes.
He wants the highest and best for everybody, does he not?
Yes.
Well, if he's going to come in and just do something in your life, he doesn't love you, per se, any more than anyone else. The love that he has for you is because he loves the whole world and sent his only begotten son into the earth to save the world, anyone that would believe on him. But he doesn't love you any more than he does another person, a Christian. He sent his son to save sinners. And you become part of the family. But think about this. If God's a good God and he wants the best for everybody, if whatever he does for one, he's got to do for the other. So he can't, if he does something for you and just comes in and says, well, you know, I know you've messed up and whatever, but here you go. I'm going to overrule and override what I've put into place for you. He's got to do it for everybody. And we know there are people that aren't yielding to him. So if we're not yielding to him, but we think he's going to come in and just do something for us, we're wrong. Now, he is merciful. Don't get me wrong. He is merciful, and he'll do anything he can in your life. And he, as long as you've given him access, so you've probably given him a degree of access. And then there's people praying for you. And so that gives him access to work. That's why you think it does any good to pray for somebody. If you're praying for somebody, you're giving God access to work in that person's life, even if they're not. Now, they're the ultimate person that's going to determine. So in other words, if you're praying for somebody, you can't override their will. But what you can do is give God the legal right to come in and help them, even if they're not doing what they need to do. You give God access. Why? Because you're praying. Things have happened to children down the road, down the way, because parents and grandparents have prayed. And so even the kid is running away. He just can't get away from God. Because God has a right to go after him, and those parents are putting something of God into their lives. They're saying, they're speaking scripture, they're praying for them. Well, every time that happens, the word of God is quick and powerful, and if that comes up to him, the Holy Spirit has something to work with. That's why we're called to preach the gospel. We're not called to debate people. We're not called to try to think them. We're called to give them the truth. Because when we just give, you don't have to go and get in somebody's face. You don't have to even, you know, if God leads you to go and shout it from the corner of the street, fine. But preach doesn't, it means to declare. That doesn't mean you have to do it with a loud voice. You can do it with a loud voice. But preach just means to declare. So you can declare the word of God in somebody's life. And just by you saying, no, I believe in Jesus, it gives the Holy Spirit something to work with in that person's life. That is an avenue right there. Even if that person is far away from God, even if they're running from God right there, God has a power and authority to work in their life. Now, they can reject it, but God is not going to override and come in and do something in our lives just because we're hurting, just because we need something. Because if he did that, I'm not saying he doesn't want to. His heart is there, and he will bring people across your path, but he's not going to force anybody. And so sometimes we're just crying out and say, oh, God, help me, God, help me. Well, we have to yield to him. So if we're yielding to him, well, now he does have an avenue. But see, it's because we're yielding to him, and if we'll yield to his word and believe on his word, then we're giving him place. So I'm not trying to say that God isn't merciful and good. He is. But if he's merciful and good to you, he's got to be merciful and good to the next person in the same degree. What makes the difference of who gets what? If God's the same for everybody, then what makes the difference? It's how we respond. So he only has a legal right to do for one person what he didn't do for another if the one person has responded differently than the other. If the one person has responded differently and been willing to do certain things and obeyed, God has legal right in that person's, because he can look at him and he's just. He can say, yeah, but this person did this. This person believed me. This person accessed what I've given him. This person did not. He's just. But if he goes in and says, I know they haven't. They've run away from me this whole time. They've neglected everything. But I'm just going to go ahead and do it anyway. Satan can come and say, "You're unjust. You can't do that." And it's a legal system, whether we know it or not. We think this United States is legal. Where did we get that from? Because God's a God of order. He's not legalistic, but he is legal. And you can't just get away with things. He can't do things that are unjust in the world just because somebody needs something. Because you have an accuser, you have an enemy that's going to come up and say, you're wrong. You can't do that. This person clearly is yielding to me. You can't come in and override that. They want me here. Do you guys see that? So God can't just come in and do anything. We give him place. And we also then, if we're going to give God, just like we would give God place, we have to resist the devil. We don't want to give him place. Because he's come to steal, kill, and destroy, the Bible says in John 10:10. He's coming to kill. If we yield to him, what if we really feel like yielding to him? We're just mad. And we're just going to let whoever have it, or we're, you know, fly off and just yield completely to that. If we know that it's not, we're not what we're supposed to do, but we yield to it anyway, we're yielding to the one that his perfect will for us is to steal from us, kill us, destroy everything about us. That's who we're yielding to. So if we start going down this path, it doesn't end in a good place. But that's what so many people are yielding to the devil. And I'm not saying all of us are guilty of it. That's not what we're saying. We're not here to condemn anybody and say, you're stupid. What we're saying is, if we make certain decisions, we have to know what the reality is. It may be that, well, I just don't want that to be the reality. Yeah, but that is the reality. Satan doesn't care. If you give him a foothold in your life, he's going to kick the door down. We don't want to mess with it, do we? We don't. So it's not about how we feel. Well, I'm just mad. Okay. God knows you're mad. There's a way to, if I'm mad and I decide to go out and take a baseball bat to somebody else's property, and then I get done and say, but I was mad, you know, God understands. Well, God may understand, but the guy you just destroyed his car might not. Right? And something happened. I yielded to something, and now I have consequences. I don't want to do that. I need to resist that. So if Satan comes and tries to do something in my life, I need to know. So how do I know what's Satan? Well, I need to know the Word. I need to know what is God and what isn't God. And some of it's real easy. I mean, you guys laugh. I wouldn't go down. If I would have said, I feel like God's prompting me to go take a baseball bat to this car out in the parking lot, you would say, I don't think that's God. I think you're listening to something else. That's pretty obvious. But something that, see, Satan's not that stupid. Some people will yield to that, I guess they do. But he's not going to come in and say, this is God, go beat somebody's car, you know, to smithereens. And most people are not going to believe that. But they'll believe other stuff. Well, this is God, you know, and try to get you to yield to something that isn't God. We need to know the Word, but then we need to act and realize that we have authority. We have the ultimate authority in our lives, and we have the authority to put the devil on the run. And it has nothing to do with how we feel. It has everything to do with knowing our rights and our privileges. And so it doesn't have anything to do with how we feel either when we want God to come in and step and do something and say, well, God, you just do it. You know, I'm just tired of this. Just take care of it. It's not that he doesn't want to. It's that unless we cooperate with him, he can't. Now, the good news is we just have to cooperate with him. Some people will turn it into, well, God, what do you mean? God just won't help me? No, God completely wants to help us. God wants us to have a good life. But we just have to cooperate with him. Why? Because he's just doing some test and saying, well, you jump through these hoops and then I'll help you. See, people paint it like that. It's not like that at all. He wants to help us, but we have an enemy that's running around trying to keep that from happening. So unless we cooperate with God, God's saying, I want to do something, but you're yielding to this other thing. You're not allowing me in your life, so I can't just step in because I would be unjust. It has nothing to do with God's wanting to. He wants to. But there's an adversary, an enemy, that's saying, no. No, you can't step in. So what do we need to do? Yield to the Lord. Now, part of that is resisting the devil. We need to stand up and say, you have no right in my life. I know I've felt bad. I know I've cried out to God. I'm not making light of it, you know. We're in pain. We feel like something should change. We want it to change, so we should feel like, God, why don't you change it? That won't do us any good. And if we realize that won't do us any good, then we come to the realization that, okay, well, what will do me good is if I cooperate with him and if I realize I actually have the power to change this. By yielding and whining and saying, I'm not saying that lightly, I'm not saying that and making it fun. I'm saying when we are just expressing what we want to happen, that doesn't change things. But if I start taking my authority and start saying, I know the Word, I've seen the light in the Word, and I'm going to resist something, now something has to change. And it has nothing to do with my emotions. It doesn't have anything to do with if I feel something like it should change. It doesn't feel like I feel like God should act on my behalf. When we start to realize I control what happens, not that I control everything, but in my life, I have authority. And I start to resist the thing that shouldn't be there, and I yield to God who wants to do things. Now I start to see things change. So Jesus, all authority has been given to the Lord, but he delegated it to us on this earth. We can't do that he can't just do anything he wants. Now, that's the first scripture. I think we're going to get through the other ones. But let's go to Ephesians 4:27, read the second scripture. The devil is a liar. That's one thing we have to know about him. You think, well, I do know that. Well, we have to know that when certain things are going on and there's pressure going on, that there's also lies flying about. And one of the lies is that God is not looking at. He's not helping us. He's not doing all that he could be or should be doing. That's just not true. Verse 26, Ephesians 4:26, it says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place," or the margin of my Bible says, "opportunity to the devil." Nor give place to the devil. Let me ask you, if Satan didn't need a place, then he could just do whatever he wanted to. You wouldn't even have to. You'd say, well, the devil's going to take the place. He's going to run you over, so, well, whatever. He can do what he wants to do anytime he wants to do it, but it doesn't say that. It says, be angry, do not sin. Do not give an opportunity or place to the devil. Well, if you can give somebody an opportunity, that means if you don't give them an opportunity, they can't do something. Why do I have to give them an opportunity? If you're just so big and bad, doesn't matter if I give you an in or not, you're just going to crush me. It doesn't matter. Why would you say don't do it? It's like, don't let that guy, watch that guy, don't let him get an edge up on you. Well, if he was so big and so crafty that it didn't matter if you watch him or not, because you can watch him all day and he's still going to knock your brains out, then it doesn't do me any good to say that, right? But if I say, wait, don't give him an opportunity, that means I have the power to stop him, right? If I don't give it to him, he's not going to get it. So we do have a place to keep Satan out of our lives. It clearly says, don't give a place or opportunity to the devil. Now turn over to James 4:7. So that's Matthew and Paul. Look at James. James 4:7. Everybody there? It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Notice the first part, though. Submit to God.
Yes.
Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So we do what? We resist him. And he's going to do what? He will flee. Did it say, if you really feel like when you say it, it's going to happen, then he'll flee? It doesn't say anything about your feeling. It doesn't say anything about if you've had a good day or bad day. Or if you've really just had a whole bunch of stuff going and you just get fed up and you have to say it and then it's got to happen. It doesn't say it. It just says, resist the devil and he will flee. Is that qualified at all there? It's not qualified. Before, though, it says, submit to God. So the first thing you need to do is be sure you're doing what the Lord would have you to do. In other words, some people go out and they just resist. They think they're resisting the devil left and right, but they're giving him full place. They're resisting God. They won't do what God is telling them to do. They're resisting his commandments, and then they're resisting something that he specifically told them to do, resisting the word, and then they're going to think they're going to go resist the devil. See, if you're resisting the Lord and not doing what you're supposed to do, then who are you yielding to? The devil. But then on the other hand, you're going to go and say, but I resist you, devil. Well, you're already listening to him. You're already giving him place. And then you're going to say, now I resist you, devil. It doesn't work that way. First thing is, we need to make sure we are listening to the Lord. If the Lord told us to be in a place, you get there. You be there. You tweak your heart. You get it where it's supposed to be. This is not legalism. It's not hard. It's really not. The devil tries to make it real hard. It's not hard. It's just being humble. It's just going and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Show me. Don't think he won't show you. And don't think if there's nothing there, he's not showing you anything else, don't make something up. If he's telling you to do something different, then do it. If he tells you to tweak this thing and to change it, then do it. If he told you something specifically in the Word, then do it. And make sure you're where you need to be. And if you are, you'll know it. You'll be at peace. And if you know that, I'm submitting to God. And if you're like, God, is there anything else I need to change? And you stay in that attitude and there's nothing coming, then don't make something up to beat yourself up with and say, well, I guess I got to do this. I probably, because the devil will accommodate you. Say, well, you know, you haven't fasted long enough or something. Fasting is not to do anything on God's side. It changes you. It puts your flesh under so you can hear God. It's not going to get God to do something, but fasting is good and biblical, and don't throw that out either. It's a good way to get your flesh under. Just, you got to use wisdom when you do it. But the Bible says that you, if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. And if you get bold with that, You don't have to say it loud. You ever noticed? You know, you that have been parents, or you know, you can see it in different areas as well. Sometimes when you're the loudest flailing around is when you're actually carrying the least authority, you know, with your children or with somebody. When, you know, like a police officer or something, he doesn't have to run up and go, get out of here. I said to get out of here. He just says, right?
Yes.
Leave.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't have to yell and flail at people. You don't have to yell and flail at your kids. I said, stop it. Right? You can give them sometimes a look and that's all. But sometimes you're getting all mad and they're like, what are you doing? They know. You're not acting like you're authority. You're acting like you're not an authority and you're frustrated that they're not listening to you, so you get mad, right? Isn't that what we do? So I'm going to get mad at you and make you, but you're acting like you're not an authority right there. Well, same thing with the devil. People go and they go nuts and, well, devil, I said go, and they're crying and everything. And he's like, I'm not going anywhere. Because you don't really know. You don't mean it. You don't have to do it. It's not how you say it. You say, shut up and go. Well, I'm not going. I told you to go. You don't have to have a conversation. You just say, I told you, therefore you got to go. What he's going to try to do is get you to take that back. And say, well, I guess he didn't go. And then say it louder or something. See, as soon as you start doing that, you realize you didn't really believe what this said. Because it said, he'll go. It didn't qualify. It just says, resist the devil and he'll flee. If we get that in our hearts and realize that's what the Word said, the Lord is backing us up, and you just say, sickness, I said go in the name of Jesus. You don't have to say, I said, if it's the first time you said sick, you don't have to pray a long prayer. You don't have to name everything. You just say, pain, leave in the name of Jesus. Sickness, go. And see, the more authority you know you have, you don't have to, well, see, if you're not sure, you'll say, well, I got to say it just right. I got to make sure I dot my I's and cross my T's and say, yeah, the pain that's in my right shoulder in here, and it's been there for 3 days, and it's right, you know, in the right nerve, and name it all, and then it'll go. No, it doesn't say that. Pain knows what you're talking, if it's talking, if you're talking to it. Satan knows. Just say, shut up and leave. Sickness, go. Which sickness? The one that's bothering you right now. It's not bad to use names. I'm not saying that, you know. Cancer, leave. It's not bad to name something. I'm saying you don't have to go into great detail. Be specific, but you don't have to go into great detail. If you know what the Word says, you walk in the light of it, and you carry authority. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 5. We'll get there tonight. Is this helping anybody? 1 Peter 5, verse 8. This is, you know, almost parallel in here. Look at verse 6. Actually, you could go to part of verse 5. It says, yes, in verse 5, you guys there, 1 Peter 5, 5, it says, yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. Notice that. casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That's another sermon. But you need to know that, that God cares for you. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. That the margin of my Bible says, be self-controlled and watchful. Does that sound like don't give an opportunity? Watch. Make sure you're on the guard. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, your adversary, we need to know we have an adversary. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then it says in verse 9, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood throughout or in the world. But notice that he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. So it tells you what to do with the devil. It says to resist him. It says, yes, he's going around. He's your adversary. He is the enemy. He's going bound around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, the people that are going to let him devour. And he says then, resist him. Steadfast in the faith. Immovable in the faith. He is, you know. So the Bible tells you clearly, yes, we have an adversary. Yes, he is going about trying to devour people. He's going to try to destroy your life. He will try. And some people, when stuff comes in, they say, oh my goodness, what is going on? God, help me. It didn't say. Look at these verses. Not one place, search the Bible and see if there is not one place where God told us to pray about the devil. To pray to God about, to have God do something about the devil. There isn't one. God never told us to ask him to do something about the devil. But we just read these verses where he told us to do something about the devil. Did he not? Don't give him place. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You have a you have an adversary. He goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. He didn't say to pray to God about the devil. Ask God to get the devil off your back. What he did say is, you resist him. You do something about it. You take your authority and say, enough, now leave. Amen? It's the same thing as what, and that's what Brother Hagin was saying, that's what Jesus was teaching Brother Hagin and us through that. Through the Word. He brought it back to the Word. That just because there's something going on in your life, trying to, maybe it's even trying to divide you from God. Maybe it's trying to wear you out. And to say, God, do something, do something. Don't you see this is keeping me from getting to church or keeping me from doing my devotion? He didn't say to pray to him. It's just like that demon jumping up and down. He said, you do something. You tell it to stop and it'll stop. You resist. Now you do it in the name of Jesus. You have the name of Jesus. We've been vested with the power. He said, in my name, you'll cast out demons. He said, you'll tread on, you have authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. It's in his name that we have that. It's not us. It's not us getting real big and saying, well, I heard that we have authority. No, people like that, they get beat up like that guy in Acts that said, you know, he tried in the name, you know, that Paul preaches, the name Jesus who Paul preaches, the devil case said, I know who Paul is. I know who Jesus is, but who are you? And he whipped him. See, people are trying to do that, going around, well, I think I'll try this. No, we need to know that God has vested us with authority and that Satan will flee from us if we know what the Word says. And he will. He will. You just don't back down. Well, he didn't go right away. He's an outlaw. Do they always listen? They're going to try to push you. They're going to try to push you and to see if you mean it. Well, does he mean it? Let's see if he's going to flinch. You say, well, it's been a little bit. So he's got to go. You either believe, you can't say, well, he hasn't gone, so see, tell me why this isn't working. See, you've already proven where your faith is. You don't really believe this. You're coming, if you ever come back and say, well, I tried that, it's not working, it's acting like the person has something to tell you and they're wrong. Rather than, you got to get past that to where the word said it. He said it to me. So it's got to work. I'm not going to any person. I'm not going to say that. Either the word says it or it doesn't. It doesn't matter what I say about it. Either the word tells you that you're going to resist the devil and he's going to flee, or it doesn't. Just cut me out of it. Cut any preacher out of it. We have the gifts, the fivefold gifts, to help us to see things in the word, and then we're supposed to take the word and act on it. We're not supposed to put a man. We respect and we honor men, but we're not supposed to say, well, you said this would work. We already are wrong. We're wrong. It's not a man. It's like, no, you helped me to see that the Bible says this, so I'm going to act on the Bible. Amen?